The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Are you ready for the word this evening? We are about to have a refreshing time this weekend. And our lives will not remain the same. How many of you are convinced that your life is about to change? God does not gather us to waste our time. I must have heard that again and again and again. And it is true today, even as it was yesterday and forever. Hallelujah. So getting started tonight. Tomorrow we continue and all of that. So our time is spent today. So I'll just maybe take the remaining of the minutes left to just bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, this is immersion. So there is no room for short teachings. So I'll just go to the level we can tonight because of our time. But tomorrow will be a stretch. I get the point. No apologies. It will be what? Stretch. So we'll be so blessed. Amen. So welcome to three persons you've not met before. And just say something nice to them this evening. Before we start. Or as we start. Hallelujah. Before we start, can we, for the first time in this meeting, give a loud shout to the Lord this evening? I think you can shout louder. Can we give a loud shout this evening? Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Have your seat. Good evening. So I'm starting something today that will bless you, that will change your life. It's a teaching that has been done again and again in the body of Christ. And I'll just say what God wants me to say in relation to that. But I tell you, it's so important. So I'll be teaching on seed time and harvest. Glory to God. Seed time and harvest. I don't know what you think I'm going to talk about, but you're possibly wrong or possibly right too. What does not seed time and harvest? Of course, that statement, seed time and harvest, was lifted from the book of Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Genesis 8 verse 22. Are you ready for the word? Genesis 8 and verse 22. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, while the earth remained, that was God talking to Noah. That's after the flood. So he told him, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So he speaks about seed time, a time of seed and a time of harvest. Now, I would like to start by letting you know that God has a principle through which he runs the earth. And that's the principle of seed. God has a seed principle that he uses to run this earth. What that means is that whenever God wants to do a thing, he begins what he wants to do with a seed. God doesn't start except he starts with a seed. Are you following me? The way God does his things is actually how man expects God to behave. You know, you'll be thinking that since his God is all-powerful, if he wants to operate, he will just go straight and everything is set once. But that's not how God operates. God operates using the principle of seed and harvest. And what I'm sharing with you this evening is going to help many of you. Some of you, it's a major principle that will change your life. And throughout this weekend, it's going to call for some looking in, some introspection and all of that to check and observe. Because God operates this earth by the principle of seed. The first example of that we're going to see in the Bible, right, is the fact that
in the book of Genesis, when God wanted to start the human race, He didn't create everybody. In fact, before we get to the idea of the human race, if you check your Bible, you observe that what God did in creating everything He created was to create one of that. So when He wanted to create a human race, He created one man. He wanted to create, He knew there will be whites, there will be blacks, there will be Caucasians. I get what I'm talking about. He knew that, but He made just one as a seed. Acts 17 verse 26, you know, Paul was preaching and he referenced this. And I'm going to read it with King James, then I read it with NLT. Acts 17 verse 26 says, "I had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. It says, "From one man," somebody say one man, "He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise." So it was through one man. That one man, Adam, became the seed. That's why you realize that even when God wanted to make Eve, He had to make Eve from Adam. Are you getting the point? So actually, if you read the Bible, says God made male and female. But if you check in practice, God made one person. But the female was in the male. Because God operates with the principle of seed. I may not get to that in this teaching. But maybe next tomorrow. But if I am able to do that, you realize that many people are complaining and wishing for God's blessing upon their life, whereas He has already blessed them. When God wants to bless you, He gives you a seed. Are you following what I'm saying? He gives you a seed. Inside that seed contains everything you need. Just like when you want to get this palm tree, you want to get a palm tree. You just need one seed. And that's enough. And inside that seed, there is palm tree. Inside that seed, there is even possibility of a forest. I hear what I'm saying now. Just one. So inside one man, Adam, there was Americans, Nigerians, Congolese, inside one seed. When God wanted to create another race, which is the new creation man in Christ, He began with a seed. And that seed is the man Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus speaking of Himself, thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus speaking of Himself said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." He said, "But if it die, He bringeth unto you." He refers to Himself as a corn of wheat. He said, "If He falls into the ground, just like He did, buried, He will bring much fruit." Today, Jesus has fallen into the ground. And there are now much fruits. You are part of that fruit. When He wanted to start a race that cut across nations and generations, He began with a seed. Then from that one seed, there was 120 instead of 20. From that one seed, 3,000 added. From that one seed, 5,000. I get to the point. So God operates the principle of seed. And you've got to understand that's how God operates. And it will help you in many ways. By the time we're done this weekend, it will help you in many ways. We are going to take this teaching to different areas of your life. You will see how it affects your health. You will see how it affects your finance. You will see how it affects your Christian, your productivity, your ministry. It's just that principle of seed. You will even see, if I am done with this, you will see how you can predict your future. Because the principle of seed, you can predict future. I get to the point. If you bring a corn of wheat, maybe a seed, a corn, maybe maize seed, and put it in the earth, you can predict that in 3 months' time there will be a maize plant starting here. You don't need to be a prophet to do that, because the seed carries in it the future. Are you following me this evening? So when God wanted to start a new creation race, He began with Jesus. He became that corn of wheat. that went into the earth and died and has now borne much fruit. Jesus talking about it in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. He gave it as a principle of the kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 31. Now read it to you. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So that's how God runs his kingdom. That even digress to say, that is how churches start. That's why when God wants to start a big church that will get to millions of people, he doesn't call a committee. He tells one man. That man is the seed that will produce every other thing. Are you what I'm saying now? He wouldn't say, well, this wants to do a big work. I'll talk to about 15 people. And then they will gather. He doesn't do that. He talks to one man. Because you understand, God operates by seed. Oh, come on. Seed and harvest. So he speaks to just one man. And then the one man will now begin to reproduce as God wants him to. So the principle of seed time, principle of sowing and reaping, you find in God's word. That when God wants to do something big, he sows a seed. And then that seed expands. I already showed you Genesis 8 verse 22. And I can also show you Galatians 6 and verse 9. That one is interesting because it's in the New Testament. Galatians 6 verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now look at what it says. It says, and let us not be weary. Let's see verse 7 rather. We'll come to verse 9 later. He said, and be not deceived. He said, God is not mocked. He said, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. People argue that this seed, principle of seed and what have you, that it is not a New Testament teaching, but that actually is. Just has to be taught right. People say, but as in Christ, we don't reap what we sow. Well, in Christ, you reap what you sow. You are reaping heaven because you sowed faith in Christ. I follow what I'm saying. As simple as that. You are reaping righteousness because you sowed faith. Are you getting the point? And so the principle of sit down and harvest time, and it's a major principle for doing life victoriously. It's a major principle for doing life victoriously. So I want to talk to you about, there are three major seeds you find emphasized in God's word. There are three major. Number one of them, which I'm going to start with tonight, is the word, God's word. God's word is the first seed. I'm going to talk about that today or maybe tomorrow. There's another seed, which you might still get in this series, called money. Money is also a seed. Are you following me? And that's why you see Paul talking in Philippians chapter 4. You know, he was thanking them because they sent gifts to him. And then I guess in verse 17 also he told them, not because I desire a gift. He said, but because I want fruit to abound to your account. So he notes that gift they sent to him will produce fruits. Anything that can produce fruit is a seed. I will get to that later. You get the point? Another seed for this is found in God's word is lifestyle. Lifestyle is a seed. I'm going to calculate that much later. You find the Bible, Paul talking about it, where he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you shall reap corruption. Because there is a certain lifestyle that he's sowing to the flesh. Are you following me? That, by the time we get to that point, which we're going to get to, not today, you now find out that where you will get to ministry tomorrow is a question of the seed you are sowing today. Life is sowing and reaping. It's not following me this evening at all. Where you will get to ministry is the seed you are sowing today. Where you are today is the seed you sowed yesterday. Even in your career, where you will get to your career, if someone is sowing diligence today,
The Bible says, "Fear thou a man diligent in his work, he shall stand before kings and not meet men." So if someone is sowing laziness today, you can predict the future. By the principle of sowing and reaping, the future is very predictable. Are you getting the point? So if you sow the word, go look at God's word as seed today. You're sowing God's word as you should sow it. There is a result you're going to have. It's predictable. So God's word, first of all, is seed. Let's start with that today. God's word is the seed. And that's the major seed the Bible talks about. It's the major seed. It's the major. You find it, Jesus mentioned that a lot. You know, there's a parable we are going to look at a lot tonight and tomorrow. And that's the parable of the sower. That parable appeared in Matthew, appeared in Mark, and they appeared in Luke. And let me teach you something about Bible study. Whenever a particular story or event appears in three different books or two different books, for you to get the totality of what happened there, you must read all the accounts. If you don't read all the accounts, you don't have the complete story. Now, it's not because the Bible contradicts itself. That's why you find out in two stories, one may leave out this detail, the other one will add this other detail. It's not contradiction. In fact, it speaks of the authenticity of the word of God. That is not doctored. Because what's happening, just like we're in this place, if I tell Minister Kenneth now, and maybe tell Brother Chivaika, so what I want you guys to do is prepare a report of what happened in this meeting. They are going to give accurate reports, but they will not say the same thing. They may leave out certain details. I get to the point. It depends. In fact, it even starts with their personality and temperament. Some temperaments that are more keen to details will even go as far as telling you when Pastor came in, he was wearing a green senator. I get to the point. Other temperaments will fail. What's the point with the green senator? Just go straight to the point. So for you to get what eventually happened, you have to read Kenneth's account. Are you following what I'm saying at all? So this parable of the sower appeared in Matthew. It appeared in Mark. It appeared in Luke. And we're not going to read all of them. We're going to be looking at the different details they have as we progress. So let's start with Mark chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 4. And with the parable of the sower, let me just read. And he began again to teach by the seaside. I hope you're reading your Bible. He began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on the good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Amen. Of course, you know that much later, they will meet him and ask him to explain the parable to them. And that's verse 10. The Bible says, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, "Unto it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without," and all of that. And in verse 13, he began to explain to them. He told them about it in verse 13. He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables?" This is very important. He told them, this parable is so important, because if you don't understand this one, you cannot understand other parable. And that's the importance of this parable Jesus is here. It's a major, major, major parable of Jesus. He said, if you don't understand this one, how will you understand other parables? Are you following the points now? Now, the next verse, he says, "The sower soweth the word." The sower soweth the word. So he refers to that seed in that story as the word of God. Are you still here? That's verse 14. If you check Luke's account, Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Luke was more direct in his own rendition. Luke 8, verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Very direct. The seed is the word of God. So God's word is seed. Right? God's word is seed. The seed is the word of God. And you know, the principle of seed is the fact that every seed has within it the capacity to generate a whole plant or whole tree. So what it means is that God's word is seed. That when God's word is spoken or is received, it may look simple, but it has in it capacity to produce. Now that's one powerful thing. God's word is seed. But when it is spoken, when it is sowed, it has capacity to produce. Every seed has within it the capacity to generate whole new plants or even a tree. So there is, in a sense, a creative ability in every seed. Because it gives rise to something that never existed before. So God's word can be sown. And from that word, what never existed in your life can begin to exist. And I'm going to tell you this, because many of you are looking for money. You are looking for cars. You are looking for health. You just need the seed of the word of God. When you sow it, it carries in it, come on, ability to produce money and many other things. Think of salvation, for instance. God's word is seed. Once that word is sown, just that word that is sown, you see what it has produced. A new man in Christ, sanctification, right? All those things we have in Christ were just produced by the word. That's why 1 Peter 1 verse 23 calls the word of God the incorruptible seed. Are you following me, friend? So, now look at this. And I'm going to get this. If you don't understand this principle of seed and whatever, and they ask you, how do I make someone to become righteous, to become holy, to become perfect, to become to have authority and all of that? Well, it will take a lot. That's what they will say. We'll have to take it gradually. First of all, let us help this person become the... But you see, all God has to do is just to sow the word. Once that word enters the earth and germinates, it bears righteousness. It bears sanctification. It bears spiritual authority. Just that word. That same way, you know, many years ago, I heard Pastor Chris say this. He said, what God wants to give you is not a car. Have you heard that clip? What God wants to give you is not money. What God wants to give you is not a job. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. And that's the truth. Because God's word is seed. Are you following me, friends? When you know how to sow it, and know how to manage it, and know how to nurture it, and know how to make it grow, and know how to harvest it, it has capacity of changing your life. Every seed, in fact, in every seed, there is a forest. Are you aware of what I'm saying now? In every seed, a Bible statement is fact. In every seed, there's a forest. You just have to plant one, then it grows. Then from that one, other seeds will come. In every seed, there's a forest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the word of God is seed. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Isaiah 55 verse 10. Let me show you this. Going to come things here and there, and tomorrow we'll come properly into this. He said, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So when God's word is sent, it has capacity to do amazing things. So some of you are waiting for a job and God will give you a word. Are you following me? And if you know how to sow that word and make it grow, you will have jobs that you have to choose. In fact, I can tell you, God doesn't give people things. He gives them words. See the point? That's what we call answer to prayer. It's actually words. When you pray, how do you know your prayer is going to answer? God will speak. That's why I prayed on my father recently. A problem remains a problem until God speaks about it. Once God says a thing about it, it ceases to be a problem. Now, whether it is this standing makes no difference, because the seed has been sown. If the recipient knows how to nurture that seed, it can produce amazing things. So look at that, Isaiah 55. He said, he said, my word, when it goes forth, it shall not return to me, boy. Now, I'll tell you a few things. Now, I'll tell you a few things about this verse. First, you realize God's word reveals God's purpose and pleasure. You said, my words shall not return to me, void, but shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So what, it reveals what God wants to do. Right? But two things I'm going to say. When God wants to accomplish his purpose and pleasure, he speaks what his word. How did God create this whole earth? The seed of the word. Let there be. This whole earth. The seed of the word. So when God wants to create something, he sends his word. When he wants to bring healing, he sends his word. Are you following me, friends? When he wants to change a man's story, he sends his word. So God's word accomplishes God's purpose. When God has a purpose in mind, he sends his word ahead. So he said, that word shall not return to me void until it accomplishes the purpose for which I sent it. So every God sent word has a purpose. Number three thing I'm going to say from that verse is that God's word has been designed to produce. He said, it shall not return to me void until it accomplishes. God's word is designed to accomplish something. So every word you hear from the Lord is designed to accomplish something in your life. Now, whether it happens or not is a different matter. Every word from the Lord is designed to accomplish something in your life. He said, it shall not return to me void until it does that which stack. What? It does that for which it is sent. My word, when it goes, it shall not return to me void. So every time God speaks a word, he has released a seed. In that seed, there can be anything. You following me now? This whole church came as a seed. What was the seed? God said to me, raise the people, knowledge of the world. That's the seed. That's the seed that produced you. Are you following me, friends? It was just a seed. There was no money, no one naira, no land, no building, nothing. Just the seed of the word. Are you following me? You are praying for God to give you a business. He has given you a word. He has given you a business. The business is in the word. Oh, are you following me, friends? That word is a seed. It's a seed. Sometimes all he says to you is go. Inside go, there is 1 million. Inside go, there are buildings. Inside go, there are jobs. Inside go, there are miracles. Inside go. That's all you need sometimes. Just go. Say, Lord, I said, go. He says, the Lord talks to me. Every God-spoken word has been designed to produce result. And God's word will always accomplish that which God pleases or which God, what God has produced. So the word of God is the seed. Have your seed. Word of God is the seed. When it is sown, it accomplishes that which God has sent it. So if you are trusting God for anything, trust God for a word. That's the answer. That's the answer. That word is a seed. By tomorrow, I'm going to show you the end of this parable of the sower. Jesus explained it to them. He told them that that one seed can produce 30-fold. Look at that tomorrow. It can produce 60-fold. It can produce 100-fold. Think of the miracle of seed sowing. How you want to make a giant tree, you bring something very small. You see the point? How you want to, I want to eat corn, just bring one seed. 3 months time. You see the point? You don't have, it's not one seed of corn you have. Now have a full ear. You know what I call it? The pub. And not just one. Sometimes you have one. One can have three. Are you following me? Do you know that your life, even in natural, started as a seed? No biology. Sperm cell, it is. Just one seed. Now look at this big man standing here. On the seed. I can see the point. God wants to change your life. Use your seed.
Thank you, Lord. Your life is about to change, you.
If God wants to change your story,
He gives you a seat.
The word of the Lord will not fail until Shiloh gone. Until Shiloh. He just gives you a seat. That word cannot fail. Somebody's asking God, just give you. Like, you know, put in my study, many people has answered their prayers, but are still praying for an answer. He said, God, I just prayed, don't you know, I heard this. The answer has come.
Are you getting the point? So the first thing God does in relating with you is that He gives you a seed. Now, while we are doing this teaching, is this fact I'm going to point I'm going to make now. We are doing this teaching because if having seed does not guarantee harvest, it is sowing seed that guarantees harvest. So many of us don't know how to sow the seed of the word. Having seed doesn't guarantee harvest. It is sowing seed that guarantees harvest. I can have seed, mango seed. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have a mango tree. That seed has potential to become a mango tree. But until I sow that seed in the earth and water it and nurture it, it will not become anything. Not because anything is wrong with the seed, but because I didn't sow it. You must learn how to sow the word. So it is not seed that brings harvest. It is seed sown that brings harvest. So harvest is not a product of seed. It's a product of seed sown. So if you have your seed and you do not sow your seed, then you're not going to have harvest. That's the point. All of us have the word. Not many of us know how to sow the word. The Bible says the sower sowed the word. It was because you sowed the word that there was harvest. The word of God is seed. The word of God is seed. And you must learn how to sow that word. Hallelujah. It must be sown for it to work. It must be sown for it to work. And it must be sown in the soil for it to work. Yes. If you get seed and put it inside anything that is not sown, it's not going to germinate. That we sow in the right environment. I get the point. So the Bible says the sower soweth the word. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is the seed that God has given me? The seed is the word of God. Where should I sow it? And am I sowing it? Now, you now realize why many people just blame God for nothing. Because they do not sow seeds and they expect sudden harvest. God is the God of principle. He's a God of grace. He's a God of merciful. He's a God of principle. You know, no matter how merciful God is, an unbeliever can never make it to heaven. Are you following the point? His mercy and grace can never make him say, even though this guy did not get born again, but let's pity him. Never. That's why the Bible says he exalts his word above his name. So even that his principles, those his principles, he exalts them even above everything you can think of. So he's a God of grace, but in his grace, in his love, in his mercy, he cannot force an unbeliever into heaven. So that's why people have to realize the fact that God loves everyone on earth, which is a fact, doesn't mean everyone on earth will go to heaven. It is only those that have received the gospel, that have cooperated with the principle that he sets, that will not get to heaven. So when people say this, like, how can you say a God of love is going to throw people to hell? He wouldn't do that. But people will go to hell because they've ignored the principle that he set in place. Someone here this evening at all. So the word of God must be sown for it to work. And where do we need to sow the word? You have to sow the word of God in your heart. The heart is the soil where the word must be sown. I said it again. The heart is the soil where the word must be sown. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Mark 4 verse 14. He said, the sower soweth the word. This is what Jesus has been the parable. He said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown where? Look at that verse because we missed it. Verse 15. Mark 4, 14 and 15. I'll wait for you to get it. Are you there now? He said, the sower soweth the word, and this, he was explaining that first word that fell by the wayside. He said, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. So Jesus is clear that where you sow the word is in the heart. You don't sow the word into the atmosphere. You sow it in the heart. Are you following me? Matthew 13 and verse 19. The same parable. Matthew 13 and verse 19. He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown where? In his heart. In all the parable, all the accounts are very clear. Luke chapter 8, the same story. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. He said, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. So all the accounts capture that where the word of God is sown is in the heart. So when you read that parable and see this, like, some fell by the wayside, some fell on thorny grounds, some fell on stony ground. All of these are describing the conditions of the heart of man. Are you following me? Which I will get tomorrow, but not now. Tomorrow, yes. But just know that the heart is where the word of God on its own. That's why tonight I'm going to leave with an instruction. You've got to learn how to get God's word into your heart. Because God's word written in the Bible will not change you until it makes its way to your heart. Oh, come on. God's word preached in church will not change you until it makes its way to your heart. Because the heart is the soil where the seed must be sown. God's word, hear this, written on your WhatsApp status will not change you until it enters your heart. God's word written in your word notes will not change you. Because the note is not the soil. The heart is the soil. Facebook is not the soil. Go on Facebook and just type, I shall make it, I shall prosper. It will not change you. The heart is where you sow the word. The sower soweth the word. So many people have not sown their seed and they expect a harvest. And I'll come to meetings like this and the word of God is lying. Grace. Eventually, amen, amen. If you do not know how to sow that word in your heart, it will not produce result. Now, when I say you are blessed, you are this, I've given you a seed. Now, you now have to make sure that you sow the seed in your heart. If you do not sow it in your heart, it doesn't stay in your heart, it will not grow. Not because anything is wrong with the seed. I get the point. It has not been put in the right environment for it to. One of the Lord will not fail. Who's above Jesus? Me? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Your life will change this year. Your life will count for something this year. Because you're going to learn how to do it. I said again, many of you have received your answers. Because God has given you a word, just that you have seed. What I saw in the spirit when the Lord was speaking to me, I see people that in their farmhouse, They have different seeds. They've not sown one. Oh, mandish, goteng, glapandia. So someone is all over the place begging for mango for like 10 years. Whereas he has a mango seed in his farmhouse. That he can just refer to and sow, and in 3 years' time, he'll be distributing mango to everybody.
Many people don't like the seed principle of God. God doesn't give you a seed.
Yeah, I get to the point. Gives you a seed.
Yeah. From there. Because even him is bound by that principle.
Many people are begging God to give them things that he has given them seed.
Following me. He's giving you a seed. He's saying, God, where's my own miracle? He's giving you something. He's giving you something. Just like, how do you start business in the natural? Capital. The word of God is capital.
Oh, are you getting me, friends?
That's the capital. I just told you this ministry came as a seed. It was just a seed. Go and do this, that. That's all. Did you have money? No. But I was seed. Do you have the men? No. But I was seed. So the men was in that word. This building was in that word. Are you following me? The buildings that we're going to build in the future, in that word. The people that will join us from Australia, from Japan, others, in that same word. So I had to learn how to sow that word to begin to. So all we have been doing and we'll keep doing is that we'll keep watering that seed. Watering that seed to produce more. What put manure into? Are you following me, friends?
He gives you a seed. Proverbs 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He came from heaven to earth to show the way.
I am on the
grave. Oh, yes.
For at least your favor.
Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of thy heart. That's where you keep the word. Because that's where it begins to produce. I'm going to show you how to plant the word in your heart. Because a seed not sown does not produce results. Let them not depart from their eyes. Keep them in the midst of their heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all. So you realize, let me say this. The truth, I'll just close with this. The truth about receiving gospel into your heart and all of that is not even in the New Testament. I just showed in Proverbs now. Even in Proverbs, in the Old Testament, we are asked to sow the word in our hearts. It's not something Jesus came up with. It's not a Paul kind of teaching. It's actually a fact that has been forever. I can see the point. Places like Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Let me show you just a few other places before I explain this verse also. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. It says, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in my heart. Shall be, it's going to put it in your hands. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. The Bible is falling between your eyes. So put it in your heart. Put it in the principle. Put it in your heart. Put it in your heart. So God's word on paper doesn't change anybody. The Bible doesn't change people.
until that thing in the Bible finds its place in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying now?
Yes.
Until you sow it, it will not begin to grow. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, was the first part of that verse, the psalmist speaking about the word of God, Psalm 119 and verse 11, he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." So you keep the word. So until we learn how to plant the word in our heart, have I said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, and I am not sinning against you." So you will still be struggling with sin. Whereas the word has capacity to set you free from sin, because it has not entered your heart. I get what I'm saying now. So the lesson you have to learn is how to put God's word in our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. The first thing that that's what it says, he said, "My son, attend to my words." Pay attention to my words. Above all that clamors our attention, we must intentionally choose to give careful attention to God's word. I can see the point. We must make God's word top priority. Give God attend to my words. Then the next thing he says, "Incline thy ear to my saying." So we must lean over to God's side and listen to what he has to say. While there may be other opinions on the matter, you might be sick. There might be many opinions. You might check AI. AI said you're about to die next week. You might check doctor. They might say whatever. But the Bible is saying, "Incline thy ear to my saying. Lean over to my heart and hear what I have to say." Are you following me, friends? A lot of things can be said about your finance. Your bank account can be saying one thing. The economy can be saying one thing. But incline thy ear to my saying. Are you following me, friends? Incline thy ear to my saying. Incline thy ear to my saying. He said, "Let them not depart from your eyes." What does that mean? You must focus our constant gaze on the word of God. Then he now said, "Keep them in your heart." So all of this you are doing, what I tend to do, you are trying to get that word into your heart. So I can say, healing is coming your way. That word has come for. You must pay attention to it. You must attend to it. I can say more. You must focus on it. You must lean and focus on it. Get it into your heart. What is now the result? They are health to those who find it. So it will not be health to you. Let it be to your heart. That's why many people carry but the result of the Bible is not showing in their lives. But it is not God's word in the Bible that changes men. God's word has entered the heart. I want to challenge you to sow God's word into your heart. Allow God's word to enter your heart. Allow God's word. Don't just hear these things. Sow God's word. And I can tell you, but I'll continue with that tomorrow. The major way you sow God's word in your heart is by the principle of meditation. Meditation is a very strong word. It's the Hebrew word haka. Meditation. So in other words, as I'm talking now, words are flying here and there. God is making you. You can even be praying. And God makes you a promise. Now, when God makes you a promise or you hear God's word or you read the Bible, it has gone into your ear. You must know how to move it. Your heart. Plan it there. If not, there will be no result.
Hey, follow me, friends.
Sit. One of the things God will do for you in this season is that he will give you seeds to sow. You know what I said now? The Bible said he gives bread to the eater and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Many people are bread conscious, but are not seed conscious. If God gives you bread, God gives bread though sometimes. But if he wants to do a permanent a work that will transcend the generation, he will give you seed.
You get the point, sir.
I can stand here and confess that. Say, miracles, financial supplies are coming. I shout, amen.
Just receive something. You get an alert now. But sometimes you might leave that message and there's not a lot. All you have is the seed. They follow him. Don't say God has answered it. Just show the what to do.
If the beautiful thing about seed is that the sower can do with the seed anything he wants to do.
Are you following the point?
Anything he wants to do with the seed.
The sower can plant one, and then as it grows and produces fruit, it can take fruit from that one and plant another one. Seed. I get the point.
So with the sweet seed, one can become a thousand.
And that seed is the word of God.
I know money is seed. People have made a lot of mess with that teaching. I'm going to come to that tomorrow. But primarily what the Bible refers to as seed is the word.
I can even tell you, if you are giving and you don't understand this concept of God's word as seed, you will still receive nothing. Take it from me. Nothing will happen to you. Those who giving us will only be using it. Will not use it.
It's by principle of meditation plants the word of God in your heart.
Meditation is something that you don't teach enough. Or must teach it.
The first time we see the issue of meditation come up in the Bible was in Genesis 24
and verse 63. Thank you, Lord. What's that? Genesis 24 and verse 63. Oh, hallelujah.
And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at even. That's the first time. So you see, Isaac had a culture of every evening he would just step out to the field. And they say, "Where are you going to say? I'm going to try and meditate." What I'm going to challenge you to do from today and tomorrow is to become more intentional in meditating on God's word. Because that meditation, God's word cannot move from the book to your heart. It cannot move from your ear to your heart. Because this is what I'm saying now, they're not getting into your heart, you're just hearing them.
That's what I'm saying. You're just hearing. Whatever is good, you are writing.
Why are you writing? The purpose of that writing is meditation. So that I can let that go back and begin to look at it and begin to meditate on it. So Isaac went out in the evening to meditate. We find it as an instruction in Joshua 1 verse 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." He said, "But thou shalt meditate on thee on it day and night." Joshua 1 verse 8. It was God's instruction to Joshua. And let me tell you why this is powerful. This was after Moses had died. Joshua was about to take over. Joshua was thinking, what's the secret to making it like Moses? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth." He said, "Meditate on it day and night." He said, "Then you shall have good success." So that verse is the secret of success in any temple. Meditate on God's word. And said to us, because when meditating on God's word, you are taking that God's word that is seed and planting it in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying now? All of us can be in this meeting and you receive your prayer. You receive that this year shall be the year of breaking Paul. I receive the same. You receive the same. All of us are happy. One person is good. Now, what happened? God just shared seed to everybody.
Are you following me, friends?
God just shared seed to everybody. As you go home, you can keep your own in your... You remember that parable of the talents? You can hide your own and say, "Oh, I'll just keep my own." Another person is going to sow his own. Then 1 year time, you say, "How come all of this happened?" We all got the same seed. Are you following me? Some of us sowed our own. Some of us hid our own. Some of us threw our own away. Some of us ate our own. Why can you really eat your seed? This eating of seed becomes more. We often talk about seed and money and all of that. We get to money, you realize that not every money you receive should be your money. The money is seed. Don't eat it. You understand? Some things, not just money, some get to lifestyle, you also buy that some things are seed. Don't spend it. Sow it. Let's leave it. We're getting there. Amen.
Joshua 1 verse 8, he said, this book shall not depart from your mouth, you shall meditate on it day and night. See, then, see, at the end of verse, he said, they shall have success. The success can be seen clearly. It is when God gives you a word and you put it in your heart and meditate on it, and it grows. The result of seed sown is success. And not just any kind of success, good success. Shout amen, somebody. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Oh, glory. Now look at what it says. Behold, I have taught you statutes. Moses is talking. I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom. So he's telling them, this I taught you is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who had God so nigh unto, okay, who had God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call on him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I said before you this day? Now, look at verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teaching them, so he said, he was telling them, I've given you great laws, great commandments. These commandments stand you out from every other nation of the earth. He told them, no nation has the kind of commandments that you have. That makes you a special nation. He said, but be careful that you don't forget them. Be careful that they don't lead your hearts. And that's our meditation. I was telling the brother tomorrow, but let me say this. There are three components of meditation. Three components of Bible meditation. The first one is contemplation. You contemplate. The second one is to visualize. And the third one is to confess. Say it again. The second first one is contemplation. Contemplate. To turn things in your heart. I've taught this before. To turn things in your heart. To turn things in your heart. Contemplation, another way to say it is to think within yourself. That's contemplation. Now, 1 verse 3 verse 5, the psalmist talks about the fact that he thinks, just thinking God's word within your heart. You read a verse of the Bible, you are turning it over in your heart, contemplating on it, thinking within yourself. Hallelujah. Psalm 145. Are you there? Sorry, 143 rather, and verse 5. NLT said, I remember the days of old, and I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. That's contemplation. You're lying on your bed. Yeah, maybe you pray the verse of the Bible. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Dare to you're just going up. Lord is my light. The way he did that, Isaac went out to meditate. That's what he was going to do. Who is my light and my salvation? I'm like you, this spirit. So, salvation means safety. It means daily counts. It means because Lord is my light and salvation. Okay, you're turned over your heart. I get to the point. What you are doing is that you are taking what you've read and blessing it. Following me now. It can even be gospel that he spoke to you by prophecy. He's your breaking form. Pretty you are. We need to pray to you. See? That's actually what I did. When the Lord told me that I was breaking form, everything I preached to you on third verse night, I had to meditate on it for long. Look at the point, please. You're the break port. Used to super if you purchase. You can see like contemplating. Eating within yourself. I always say this. That's the difference between Bible meditation and all this step meditation. In Bible meditation, we are not just coming up with things in our head. Or we're not freeing up our mind. Get the point. Just free up your mind and just stay. That's not Bible meditation. All meditation is that you deliberately put God's word in your heart and you are. Just the same way, if a boy, your boyfriend or girlfriend buys you a gift, just lie down with the gift. That's a love person, and you're just contemplating, thinking within yourself. Most do, almost all of you. Maybe that point that you've been thinking about just said, I love you. And you are rolling from one part of the bed to another. Know what you're doing? You are meditating. That contemplate. So that in this case, in your work report, it has to be intentional. That's what I'm saying now. It has to be deliberate. Deliberately goes to pray nobody tonight. The second part of meditation is called visualization, which is turning those things you are meditating on into pictures. Another way to put it is imagination. And I begin to imagine. That's what God told Abraham today. He called him out and said, look, imagine that. Look at the stars. The number you can count is the number of children you have. So you have to start imagining. I get to the point. Imagining the stars, imagining the number of children. So, wow, like I'll have, how many stars there are? Then I'll have many children. He was making him to imagine. I told you something ago. When God wants to change you, he paints pictures in your heart. You must take those pictures and begin to paint there. I get to the point. What is happening is that which God has said, you are now planting it in your heart. I'm teaching you spiritual agriculture. You get the point there? Spiritual farming. It's just like in agriculture, you don't, some of you don't, it depends on what you're trying to plant. Everything you're planting has there. If you want to plant, maybe you want to plant maize, what do you need to do? Let's make a heap. Right? Or ridge. Or you just plant. It doesn't have to be too big because you just maize for more. And or maybe let's use yam. Have you ever planted yam? Ever see where I'm planting yam? So that for yam, the heap has to be. You know, in planting yam, there is a way you lay it in the ground. There's a way you don't lay it. We lay it from up. You don't produce. Yeah, well, they are taking notes. Because God might be telling you to go and start planting here. That's why I'm just saying, there's a way you plant these things. You're visualizing, you're painting pictures. You are sick. And you've prayed. This is what the Bible said about healing. He said he sent his word and healed them. So what he gave them was a word. Are you following me? The word now healed them. So he didn't give them a healing. He gave them a word. In the word, God was healing. Maybe you see God gives you God. And then, what do you do? You've done that word over there. What did God even tell you? He told you, you know, and the Lord, I hate. All of you that were at the retreat yesterday, when I was talking about the man that lost 15 people once. You know what that's the? See, the word just came. In him was life. That life was the light of men. When he gives that kind of word, you know, see, and God just gives you a word. It might just be a verse from the Bible. Surely has borne our grief. And I forget it. Just not for our peace is laid upon him. You can store on that you're contemplating. Before you know, you get to visualization. What I'm visualizing, how sicknesses you are laid on him. How, you are not painting picture. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's gaining more ground. The third part of meditation is now confession. You've thought about it and painted the picture so much that you are now speaking it forth. That's why last time I taught you, one of the easiest ways, that the word meditate actually, the word haka used for meditate in the Old Testament is the same word used for murmuring. So meditating is murmuring over good things. You know, do you know how you murmur? For you to murmur, you must go through these three things I just told you. Maybe how many of you they sent you down fresh water? Going up. You feel that dealing with you, you begin to murmur. Before the murmuring comes, you first think deeply. What are you thinking about? Every other person is in their room. Yeah, I've washed the plates today. I've cooked. Did you ever do that? Wash plate today. I've cooked today. I swept the jury. Walk up to everybody. She's in the room. Nobody has spoken to her. You know what you're doing? You are contemplating. You understand? Then we are visualizing. Then it will get to a point. That's coming out. That's somebody who just did. I don't know. This kind of family somebody came to. I don't know. You are meditating. And the point is, if you do that a lot, that negative meditation, you are practicing in your heart, it can produce hatred. Now that's how hatred begins to grow. You are sowing seeds of hatred. You are nurturing it. If you don't deal with it, before you know what is happening, you become a hater. Now, how do people go from loving their siblings to hating them? They planted a seed in their heart and nurtured it until it grew. That's the same thing you are meant to do with the word of God. You see what God told Joshua? He said, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of what? Not thy heart, thy mouth. Because I want you, Joshua, to go to that third level of meditation where you begin to voice it. So most of us will say, confess the word, confess the word. Confession is actually the final stage of meditation. I get to the point. That's why, how does confession work? You believe in your heart. You say with your mouth. I get to the point. So that's how you plant the word of God in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get it in. Get it in. Get the Bible. That's why I understand and I love the fact that many of us are trying to finish the Bible in 1 year. I encourage that I gave you a manual for that. But that shouldn't be the only thing you do. That is what we call. Now, you know when I try to finish the Bible in 1 year, I just go in. But there's a point where you do contemplative reading. Where you are reading and turning things you are reading in your heart. I get to the point. You read. No, my God shall supply. And you are next. But you stop. You go over it again. My God shall supply. You stop. You go over it again. My God. You know what they're doing? You admit it. Observe, for every time you go over that, the meaning comes afresh. That is what I'm saying. That is contemplative use of the word. God. So my God. What did you reach his goal? You will reach to a point. You will now start noticing according to, it's not even according to my bank account. It's according to his riches in glory. So how rich is he in glory? You will turn it over in your mind so much is gaining root. You are planting. A sower soweth the word. You are sowing it. Oh, yes. You are sowing it. You do that and do that and do that to a point. It's like something captures you. You now go, whoa! My needs are supplied according to his riches in glory. Meditation. That's how the word enters you. So you just meditate. You know, before you begin to shout, you've been saying it to yourself. For you know, it's time for me to go surely. Have you observed when you stay around any serious Christian, we talk to ourselves a lot. Has someone ever caught you talking to yourself? I talk to myself a lot. And not that people are saying, my life is just a mess. Don't do that. You know, I used to preach to myself. You do that. Whenever I preach to myself, say, Jesus, glory, yeah. It's meditation. You smile. Good body supplying that. Maybe I'm struggling with sin, a particular habit or addiction. Then you are reading your Bible. Maybe the verse, the chapter you are reading is maybe Romans chapter 7. Where Paul makes it very clear that Jesus, I think that verse 30, said, who can deliver me from this bondage? He said, thank God for Jesus. You just stay there. You are going over it in your way. So Jesus can actually bring you. You are going over it until he
take souls. What has happened? You have sowed the word. What has entered the earth? It doesn't mean it's going to produce the next day. But I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. Many people don't know how to do agriculture, spiritual agriculture. That's why we are. So, even in natural agriculture, you do not plant and harvest the next minute. You sow, you wait, and you reap. That's tomorrow. So, where it doesn't mean that when you do this, oh, it means the next moment. It means you've sowed. Are you following me? The seed has entered the earth. The next thing we're going to talk about tomorrow is now how to water. I'll teach you how to water, how to nurture the seed that you sow. But now, yeah, the God's word in Jesus. All this word in this business, the year started. Don't leave them on your paper. Nothing will happen on that 20 leaves. You just go and read it again and nothing has changed. Get it in your hearts. Now, you get the time you are talking about it like it's already read. Because you have sown it, it has taken hold of you. I want to challenge you. I'll give you two instructions tonight. Make this thing I just shared with you a daily practice. Daily practice. Have your moment. Be like Isaac. Sit down and stay on the wall. It will be seeing pictures. God has made you a promise. He is going to give you job this year. Or he's going to bless you financially. What are you supposed to do with that? Go meditate. Sow it. Sow it. It is not seed that guarantees harvest. It is seed sown. Sow it in your heart. I've proven to you from God's word that the soil is the heart. The head is not the soil. Your ear is not the soil. Are you following me? Your note is not the soil. It's the heart. So until you move that word to your heart, nothing is happening yet. So harvest is a product of seed sown. Not a product of seed available. Seed can be available and not sown. Many of us have seeds you never sown. You've never taken time to storm that word. You've never taken time to take that word into your heart. I expected that since this year started, you will have spent sessions saying things like, I'm breaking forth. What does that even mean? That's a big word. What does it mean? I'm meditating over it. It is my business. We'll go from having three shops. Okay, we now have. Yeah. In your heart, you are imagining it. We're already seeing the shops. Yeah? We're already seeing the shops. And I will now have. I've always wanted to buy. I'm seeing it. Paying it. Now, the difference between this and wishful thinking. They are not wishing. You are simply pondering on what God already said. That is different from wishing, having good wishes. I get what I'm saying now. If wishes, you are horses. Beggars ride on them. Good thing, wishes are not horses. So I'm not asking you to begin to wish yourself good. I'm going to think about it. What has God said? Prince, you are.
You alone are my house. Desire.
But the Lord has spoken to us this year about increase, about breaking power of that. You know, I have seen, I can't comment as I've been meditating on the crusades. I've seen the crowd. I've seen the number. I've seen the Sundays we came in here and were looking for seats. I've played all of that in my head. I get to the point. What am I doing? What has given me seed?
I'm sowing it.
Make this a daily practice. Now, daily practice. I tell you the simplest way to do it. Apart from meditating on the promises you have from God's word, when you read your Bible, take one or two verses that hit you there. Huh? Give me 3 minutes. In fact, that's the easiest way to memorize Bible verses. Make the daily practice. Don't open your head. Even while you finish spending time meditating on it, as you are driving, as you are going to work, your mind is still busy. You are still going over that thing you read earlier in the morning. Do you do that? As you going over that verse you read earlier in the morning? Or that, maybe you listen to a message in the morning, and pastor says something. Go to you. You're still going to work. You're still going over it. You are that sower sowing the work. And as you keep doing that, God's word is entering the seed, the soil of your heart. It's all of that. Some people have never sown the word in their heart. Make it a daily practice. The Bible said, the psalmist said he meditates on the word of God all day long. That's Psalm 119 and verse 97. Make it a daily practice. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. Every day you're on the wall. Now look at this. Nobody can read the Bible for 8 hours every day. Is it possible? Huh? Is it possible? It's not. You're going to walk. Now what that is doing. The best you can do on a daily basis, depending on how busy you are, is 1 hour, 2 hours. You get the point? But see the secret. You might read the Bible for only 1 hour, but you can stun the word for 8 hours. Are you getting the point? Apart from that time you give to me, you can be driving, you're going to work and just going over the word in your head. And I always say this when I teach on meditation. Whether you meditate on God's word or not, you are meditating on something every day. Your heart is never free. So I'm just trying to tell you, every time you are going to work or you are just coming to church, something is going on in your mind. What? How about you now become the one that controls what goes on in your mind? Well, that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to do what you've not been doing. I'm only asking you to control it. Are you following me, friend? It's what you do every day. Now own it. It's your mind. Own it. Are you getting the point? And I tell you, be deliberate about it. Just find out that your mind has drifted to that boy that broke your heart. Drift that mind back and put it on something you read in the morning. And force it. If he drifts, lift it back. And I tell you, one of the easiest ways to drift your mind back when it goes that far. If you are trying to think the word and is drifted, murmur the word. I get the point. If you're trying to think, business supply. The next thing that comes, all the tax you are owing. You bring the mind back. You know what to do? I'm out. Buy a purse. What's your purse? I'm not thinking about this. So, now, I'm telling you what to do. How does Dr. Brown in this? Which is in way. How much? These are this. I'm preaching to myself. These are this in my spring. This is this. I shouldn't really bother. Paradox. That are customers and what I said I should go. You said, but I can't. I'm being patient. Sowing it. You learning something this evening at all. Do it every day. And then, apart from doing it every day, when there is a situation at hand, that is medication. I'm telling you whether there's a problem or not, meditation, but whether it's maybe you are now sick. Doctor has said this and that. Or you're a pastor, church is not growing. Practice meditation. When you get to prayer, when God gives you a word, pray to your heart. All that God may give you, maybe you are praying and you just hear from the Lord. And the Lord added to them daily. He added to them daily. Then you get to pray. You are meditating on daily. Daily. Daily can be a 1 year meditation. What does daily mean? What are the implications of daily? What does it mean for God to mean daily? So if God asked us daily, what does it mean? So God, you see, coming like that. What about the woman that was praying for the son? They went to the hospital, the son was almost dying. Every time the child goes to school, they bring him back sick. That day she stayed, she prayed and prayed and prayed. And then the word of the Lord came to her. And she kept saying this in a meditative way. What came to her? Surely he has borne our grief. See, she kept saying that until she found out that it was surely became prominent. Surely. 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 He held that boy. I said, surely. Yes. The sickness came to an end. Now, it's not just about what is written in the word.
The sower soweth the word. Look at what in your heart. When at the situation, don't fall for the trick of the devil. To think what the economy says. To think what the doctor has said. Think what the word has said. Meditate on the word. Let me tell you something. As we meditate on God's word, I told you already, if you are sowing the seed, the result is very clear. Psalm 1 verse 1. He said, blessed is the man. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Who sits not in the seat of your God. Let me read it out. I love that psalm. And I'm going to read it tonight. Oh, yes. Psalm 1 and verse 1. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate how many times? Day and night. What will become of that man? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the man that meditates on God's word. You know why? There is a seed that has been sowing. You cannot be sowing and you will not become a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, that is meditative. The Lord just put that in my heart now. That is meditative listening. You can listen to me now meditatively. Some of you are really taking what I'm saying and putting it back straight into your heart. You're not distracted, you're focused. But sometimes I make a point, you find yourself contemplating over that point for the next 10 minutes. Now you have to catch yourself after some time. You're planting it. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. That's my story. Challenge you tonight. Sow the word. That word you have, sow it. That word you read in your Bible, sow it in your heart. That promise God has made you, sow it. It will not come because you heard it. It will come because it is in the soil. The seed doesn't produce because the seed is so good. It is because it was planted in the soil. I can give you the best seed there is. It will produce nothing. Until you learn the principle of opportunity later. That's why there are many believers that are broke. For God has promised prosperity in the Bible. But the promise of prosperity does not translate to having prosperity. It's just a seed. I have to catch it. And sow it. Walk it. It's seed time. And once there is seed time, there will be harvest time. Seed time. It's seed time. That's why you don't envy people. People you are envying are in their harvest season. Don't envy them. Just start sowing your own. Go to somebody's farm. Person already has all these crops. What do you do? Do you steal from me? No, you just go get your own crops and sow your own. You know, it's a matter of time. Your own will come like that. Don't envy people. Sow the world. Sow the world. Sow the word. Around your finances, sow the word. Around your health, sow the word. God says, I've brought healing your way. Put that word in your heart. Let us say to yourself all the time, healing has come my way. And God is perfecting it. God is making it. You plant it until it gains root. He said, when you practice that, you shall be like a tree. Planted by the rivers of God. Are you following me? He said, when you practice that in Joshua 1 verse 8, he said, you shall have good success. So the word. You have some seeds tonight. You want to sow? When you meditate on God's word and you use your tongue, you find out that your tongue is the instrument you use for sowing. You know that is usually if it's yam you want to sow, you have to open the earth. Your tongue is that which you need to open and then put in. Are you following me now? And what have I hidden in my heart? that I might not sin against you. Even though thy word has capacity to keep me from sinning, but for you to walk, I have to hide it in thy hands.
You alone, amen.
Desire and the law through what?
I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Whatever word God has given you this year, it's time to put it where it belongs. Not in your notes. Your heart. If you don't realize, we are in Christian meetings and then it's time by praying, we are receiving words. Instead of to be receiving God's word, you are writing. Let the word enter your heart before you write it. I get the point. It's time. Lift your voice. Whatever it is, a sower soweth the word. Woo! What word has God given you? What seeds do you have? It's time to put it in the earth. You don't know what to say. The Lord said it's our year of breaking forth. You can just start saying that to yourself. I'm breaking forth this year. I'm breaking forth this year. I'm breaking forth. My ministry is breaking forth. My career, you are showing the word. My career, I'm breaking forth in my career. I'm breaking forth in my studies. It's my seed time. And I tell you, this year will be harvest time. If only you can sow that seed. I'm breaking forth in my career. I'm breaking forth in my finances. I'm breaking forth in my ministry. We are having spread. Spread all over the world. Spread of influence. More men saved, more men changed. We are breaking into hundreds and breaking into thousands because it's our year. Come on, sow the word. Sow the word. Sow the word, 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 sow the word. Be that sower, sow the word, sow that word, sow that word. Those promises around your marriage, sow it now. This time to sow it with your mouth, with your mouth, with your mouth. That's why the word is homologio. It means to say what God has said. That's why you take seed from God, then you sow it. That's what it's done. You collect from God, then you sow it. You are the sower, sow it. Sow it. Don't leave it in your notes. Sow it. Don't leave it in your head. Put it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Oh, you're not praying to God. You are sowing the seed of God's word in your heart. You are sowing the seed of God's word in your heart. Many of us have never dared to sow the seeds that God has given us. We've never dared to sow the seed that God has given us. The promises around your career, your finance, they've been lying down there. Put them in your heart this moment. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from the midst of thy heart. Ooh. He said, then there will be healing and health to your flesh. All the promises of God, put them in your heart where they belong. Put them in your heart where they belong. They do not belong to your notes, they belong to your heart.
It's seed time. It's seed time. It's seed time. It's seed time. Come on. You have 1 more minute. You are planting something. You are planting that in. To have seed is not enough. To sow it is where it begins from. Sow that word. The job is coming. Sow that word. Sow that word. Sow that word. There is victory over the addiction. Sow that word. Say it to yourself, I'm conquering the addiction. Sow that word. I'm dealing with the habit. Sow that. I'm breaking out from this mess. Sow that word. God has promised. Now sow it in your heart. Put it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. It will germinate. It will bear fruit. It will germinate. It will bear fruit. It will germinate. It will germinate. It's bearing more fruits. That album God has spoken to you about, speak it for, sow it into your hand now. When God gives you seed, sow it. Woo! Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes.
That's how to build. That's all for. That's all for your heart. When the time comes, the silver continues speaking. When we get there.
Say when we say my heart is a fertile ground. For the word of God to thrive. Say, my heart is a fertile ground for the word of God to thrive. Look at that tomorrow. That's when you realize that there are some people, why they don't have results, not because God has not given them any word, but they've not sown it, or they've sown it, but the soil is bad. For instance, one of the soils that, for instance, is bad, for instance, is unbelief. The act of unbelief is a wrong soil. You plant it there to not germinate because you don't even believe. I get what I'm saying. You don't even believe what they're saying. The Bible talks about a kind of soil. Look at that tomorrow. Called the wayside. That's a kind of soil called the wayside. That's where the birds of the air just came and picked everything and left. That's a kind of soil called the stony ground. You have results. You have results. The word of God is working in my life. Say that they say the word of God is working in my life.
You know anything about it? The word of God that is working in your life is what that you've planted. So the word. When you hear God's word, get it to your heart. Get it to your heart. Get it to your heart. Oh, look at that. One of us to do that, one of us to believe it. Get to the point. Believe it, meditate on it, put it there, without any stakes. You know what I say. This year, you are breaking forth by the Spirit. Same is that this year, I'm breaking forth by the Spirit. See, like I said, this year, I'm breaking forth by the Spirit. I'm breaking forth on the left and on the right. Shout amen, somebody. So let me say, this year, every word spoken to me shall come to pass. There's a story like that in the Bible. What's that in the Bible? That every promise God made to Israel, that will be my story this year. And every word that God spoke to me, I will stand here until the 1st December, and I'll tell you guys, every word God spoke to me happened. Every detail happened. The job he promised me came. The children he promised me came. The miracles he promised me came. The career he promised me, it came like that. The source he promised me came. The ministry he promised me increased. Everything he said happened. Because when he speaks, I will show it. See it in a minute. Are you blessed tonight? Give chance, let's give him praise this night.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Let's worship with that tonight. Let me hear you singing all about this place.
Your name,
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Elohim and Adonai.
I will praise.
I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
One more time now. Say El Shaddai. Say
El Shaddai.
Elohim,
Elohim, and Adonai,
is to wage,
is to wage, you're still the same.
By
the power of your name,
El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Elohim,
I will praise.
I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
So let me tell you something tonight. As you leave, everything you want is possible this year. All you need is a word. One word from God and change your life. Word. Not because the word will just come out, but because it's a seed. Praise many things. Your life is changing. It's getting better. In Jesus' name we pray. You want to shout a loud amen this evening? Why are you blessed this evening?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryenyodikachi.com.